All right, Ephesians chapter number 5. And I want to focus one more time on verse 3 and 4 with you this morning. And I really hope to get across to you what's on my heart in these verses. My desire is to teach you God's Word. But it's not just to teach you the verses and then let it go. I want these things to reach down into your heart and to be a part into your life and to be life for you. And there are things in these passages, and sometimes, you know, I know people, you know, they say, well, you're teaching through Ephesians and you're taking so long, how can you? Because we take these little excursions off of the text in the passage and talk to you about some of the things that are here. And as your pastor, I have a desire that you don't just know what the verses say, but you get the teaching that's in the verses that need to reach into your heart. That's why I talked to you last time about the issue, I call it world bordering. That's the old-fashioned term for worldliness and compromising with the world. And we use Jehoshaphat as an illustration of that. And I want to kind of amplify one other issue with you this morning in these verses. It starts out in verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You follow God as dear children. In other words, when you understand how dear you are to Him, then you follow Him. If you have someone to follow and you don't think they like you, and they're mad at you all the time, and every time you see them, they growl at you, you're not going to tend to follow them that much. Now, you might follow them, but you don't follow them with any affection. But when you follow God as dear, you realize how much He loves you. And that's the bottom line in the Christian life, is our Christian life, our life as believers, our walk, progress through life needs to be on the basis of the fact that we understand how much He loves us. That's what verse 2 is about. And walk in love. Walk in His love. That's not walking your love for Him. It's walking His love for you. First John, he says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then he says, we love Him because He first loved us. It's His love that draws out of us our love. The law says, love Him. And you know you can't do it. Love Him with all your heart, your mind, your soul. Love Him perfect. And you don't. If you look at your love, you trust your love, you'll fail. So you look at His, and that's why Paul says, the love of Christ constrains me. Puts an internal compulsion down inside that draws you along. And you walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. There's the standard. And given Himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You can be a real stinker in life, but in Christ, He makes a sweet-smelling, it satisfies God to see Christ living in you. And as we progress through life, as we walk through life, living under the grip of Christ's love for us, when your life comes under the control of the grace and love of God that is yours in His Son, that's the walk in love. Now, verse 3 says, but. Now, when he starts out with a but, he's going to start out with a contrast. Here's the contrast to the walk in love. But fornication, all uncleanness, or covetous, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Those things do not reflect who you are in Christ. Neither filthiness, nor foolishness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. They don't match who you are, but giving of thanks. The rather giving of thanks. That's what stops all these other things in your life. Here's the positive side of what the walk in love is. Here's the negative side. We don't do that. And the reason we don't do that is because of the gratitude we have to God for His love for us. The thing that will stop sinning in your life is thanksgiving. You don't go around looking at sinful activity in your life and say, whoo, bless God, that's what Christ died for. That's what killed my Savior. Now, you know, that's just goofy talk. And you know, if you think about sinning that way, what does it do? It doesn't make it attractive. It makes it a rebuke. The thing that's going to stop a believer from acting like an unbeliever, and that's the point there in verse 3 and 4, Verse 5, he says, for you know that no whoremonger, or unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater hath an inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. It's lost people that naturally act that way. And as a believer, the thing that stops you from acting like you're still lost is the love of Christ. You follow that? That's fundamental, basic issue here. If you go back to chapter 4, verse 17, he's been talking, the latter part of chapter 4, about that issue. This I say, therefore, testifying the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Don't walk like you're still lost. Now, we spent months going through that passage. I'm not going to do it again. But the point is that you and I as believers have a walk in the love of Christ for us.